Jesus' suffering and death atoned for our sins. And because of this, Christians often view the crucifixion as Jesus' most important act, his crowning victory. But the Bible also teaches that without Jesus' resurrection, his death would have been meaningless. Why is the resurrection of Jesus an indispensable part of the gospel message?
The resurrection of Jesus is basic to the gospel because without the resurrection, with a dead Jesus, we have nothing. I mean, what help is there in a dead Jesus? Crucified, failed. So the resurrection in the New Testament is a sign that Jesus has been vindicated. And if we talk about the forgiveness of sins coming about through his death, well, if Jesus had died and not been raised again, we don't know that we're forgiven. The whole doctrine of salvation falls apart without the fact that Jesus is raised from the dead. But it's more than that. I mean, it means that Jesus Christ is alive today. And an essential part of the good news is that here is a living person that we can know and have our lives transformed by. We're not following just a dead hero, we're following a living person. But it's more than that. It's that there's actual new life beyond the grave for those who believe in Christ. So death is not the end. The resurrection is a sign that there is a new kingdom established and that we have hope beyond the grave. And it is even more than that. It's that God has got a purpose for his whole world. This creation, which is subjected to frustration, finds through the resurrection that there's a hope of new creation. And so the resurrection turns out to be absolutely key, not just for individuals, but for the whole world.
Paul says in Romans 4 at the very end that Christ was raised for our justification. And in fact, he says in 1 Corinthians 15 as well that if Jesus is not raised, our faith is futile, meaningless, and we are still in our sins. So the resurrection is integral to our confidence that our sins have been forgiven, that what Jesus did on the cross was not for his own sins, but for our sins. The resurrection is God's declaration that that wrath and judgment that Jesus received on the cross was not what he deserved, but what we deserve. It's God's demonstration that what Jesus deserves for lifelong, start to finish, inside and out, perfect obedience to the Father's will is eternal life, the life of the age to come. And Jesus endured the cross for us, Paul says in Galatians 3. Christ endured the curse, becoming a curse for us as he was hanged on a tree. But now Jesus has entered into the new life that is rightfully his. And amazingly, by grace, because we're united to Christ, that new life, the life of the age to come, is ours as well. His death to our sins, guilt, and penalty is our death. His resurrection to his rightly deserved reward by God's mercy is our reward. We haven't tasted it all yet, but we've tasted the first fruits of it in the work of the Holy Spirit, applying the resurrection already to our hearts and lives, drawing us out of death and into life, as Paul says at the beginning of Ephesians 2. And that first fruits of resurrection life through the work of the Spirit guarantees to us and assures us that the full harvest of resurrection, our own bodily resurrection, to see and to be with Jesus and to be like him, is certainly coming. The resurrection is crucial to the gospel because it speaks of Christ's victory over sin and over death, which is ours by God's grace.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ, together, of course, with his atoning death on the cross, is indispensable to the Christian life. And I think two main reasons it's indispensable. For one thing, the resurrection was Jesus's vindication. Vindication in the sense that it proved, it confirmed that he was who he claimed to be, that he did accomplish what he claimed that he would accomplish. So we know that Jesus's death on the cross paid the penalty for our sins because he rose victorious from the grave. So vindication is the first key reason. But the second is that he rose to a new life, a new glorified existence. When Jesus rose from the dead, he entered into a different kind of existence, the kind of existence we were meant to have. Because Adam and Eve rejected God, they didn't enter into this glorified existence. But Jesus did at his resurrection. And by dying with Christ, by being risen with him, we know that we too will enter into our glorified bodies, and we will come into a unique and eternal relationship with God through that resurrection. So the key is both vindication, but also the newness of life into a glorified body, into a glorified existence that we will have with God forever.
The life and suffering and death of Jesus would ultimately be meaningless if it were not for the resurrection of Jesus. When Jesus rose from the dead, it was God's vindicating that Jesus was right. You may remember that many of his enemies accused him of being satanic or foolish or a crazy revolutionary, but instead he spoke truth and wisdom and healed and lived in humility and lived with sinners and was accused of being a sinner himself for living with them. Yet God vindicated by raising him from the dead that he was the true Son of God. Another reason why Jesus' resurrection is so essential and why his life and death and suffering are not sufficient in and of themselves is because in the resurrection, Jesus not only provides an example, but he also conquers death itself. In his rising, death is put to death. Death itself is killed. And so if we only had his suffering and his death, he would serve a great example, but it would not deal with our sin problem. We would still face our deaths only with an example of someone who also faced death with nobility. But the resurrection of Jesus provides an assurance that not only Jesus was truly from God, but that death itself is now conquered. Another reason the resurrection is so important is because it affirms the value of God's created order. It affirms that our bodies, as made by God and all matter, do matter. That it affirms that God cares about creation and that our hope is a resurrection body ourselves in physical bodies, because all that God has made is good. Even though creation itself is marred, what God has made is good. And the creation itself, the scriptures say, is longing for its redemption, the adoption of the sons of God. The resurrection not only inaugurates this, but shows that God cares about our physical bodies and the physical world that he has made. Another reason the resurrection of Jesus is so important, and this is one that I'm afraid that we often don't speak of, though it's clearly in the scriptures, and that is that the resurrection of Jesus inaugurates and initiates the new and final age of the world itself. Not only is the cross and the resurrection of Jesus the means by which we can receive forgiveness of sins, atonement for our sins, but as important, and maybe even more importantly, the resurrection begins the new and final age of the world. The new creation, as the scriptures call it, begins at that tomb, that empty tomb. It is the new epicenter, the new focal point, the new hinge of history itself. It is not just another event, it becomes the focal point by which all of history is now understood. Because all that Adam did and failed to do, and that death reigned from the time of Adam's fall up to Christ, now life reigns because a new second Adam has come, and the resurrection is this turning point in history. This is why the rest of the New Testament authors regularly look back to the centrality of Jesus' being raised from the dead and speak of us now living in the end times. We are now all living in the end times because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He has inaugurated this beginning of the end. And the hope for the Christian is that that beginning will now find its consummation at the second coming of Christ, which is called, according to the scriptures, a new creation itself.